This is a bonus episode of the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Getting approved for a mortgage on a rental property can be a little bit more complicated than getting a mortgage for a house that you're going to live in. There's just a little bit more risk there for the banks when you're buying a rental property. So they're going to make you jump through a few more hoops. And on this bonus episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about what it takes to get approved for a rental property loan today. Specifically, I want to talk about what the minimum credit score is. I want to see what kind of documentation you're going to be asked to provide. And I want to talk about cash reserves. The banks are going to require that you have a certain amount of cash set aside. But I want to see, is it actual cash, or could you have money in your 401k and could that count? Or maybe you have money available on a HELOC or a line of credit. I want to see if that could count as your reserves. We're also going to talk about four big mistakes that people make when they're getting loans and what you can do to avoid making those mistakes. Joining us on this bonus episode of the podcast today is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you've been listening to the show for a while, I'm sure you know Chaley. She's been with us a bunch of times in the past. Chaley is also a sponsor of the podcast, but she's not paying to be here today. We don't do sponsored content. No one ever pays to come on the podcast. Chaley is here today because I have questions and she's volunteered to give her knowledge. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chaley. I want to let you know about a really easy way to track your rental income and expenses. It's an accounting software custom made for rental property investors. It takes just seconds to enter an expense or to record that you collected rent. It makes tax time really easy. Just run a report and give it to your tax person and you are done. They're currently offering a free 30-day trial. There's no credit card required, so if you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. You can learn more and sign up today at rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L, rentaltrial.com.
Rental Income Podcast.
Chaley, let's start off with you giving us just a real quick overview on what it takes to get approved for a mortgage today.
Absolutely, Dan. The down and dirty, there's the quick kind of basic rule when we're talking about a conventional or maybe a full doc loan. Remember, we have lots of a diverse variety of loan products, but when we talk about conventional or the loans that you're going to submit all of your vials of blood, there's three basic criteria. Simply, you've got credit, assets, and debt to income ratio. And if I touch on each one of those really quickly, I would say that for investment property purchases or refinances, you're going to want to have a 680 or better credit score. Ideally, we can take and we have seen in closed loans as low as 650, I would say, on an investment transaction. Those individuals are probably going to have compensating factors, low debt to income ratio or strong assets, but it is possible. But 680 and above, I would say, is a good benchmark. Keeping in mind, too, that the higher credit scores are going to have lower interest rates. So that might be something to comment on. When we talk about assets, important to comment that for investment properties, an individual's down payment and reserve must be sourced and seasoned. And for those that haven't heard that term before, sourced means that the funds that are coming for the down payment or, again, the reserve requirement must have originated with them. And seasoned means 60 days or 2 months worth of asset statements or bank statements versus, you know, owner-occupied transactions. You can have gift funds or even borrowed funds for a down payment. Non-owner-occupied, that is not the case. And then debt-to-income ratio. Simply put, 50% threshold for most products is going to be the debt-to-income ratio requirement. So if you made $10,000 a month, all the monthly expenses, including the new mortgage payment, offset potentially by the rents, by the way, could not exceed $5,000. So 50% DTI or below is what the debt-to-income ratio requirement is.
Is there a certain amount of reserves that you want to see for someone when they apply?
Yeah, and it can change based on the product. If we're going to kind of stick to the conventional side, the reserve requirement is a little bit more convoluted. It really is going to depend on how many financed properties the individual has. And what we're going to do is we are going to sum up the unpaid principal balance of the rental property mortgages. And then we're going to multiply whatever the sum of that number is times 2, 4, or 6%. Again, it's dependent on how many finance properties the individual has. Just quickly, if they have 1 to 4 finance properties, we're going to multiply that by 2%. If they have 5 and 6 finance properties, that's going to be 4% of the unpaid principal balance. And then if they have 7 through 10, we're going to take 6% of the unpaid principal balance. Please note two additional things. The primary residence will include the number of finance properties. It'll be included in that count, but it will not be included in the unpaid principal balance calculation. So again, if you have a primary residence that is a mortgage, you're not a renter, but you actually have a mortgage, that will count when we figure out which bucket, 2, 4, 6% that they're in, but we will not take the outstanding principal balance on that primary mortgage and include it in the actual calculation. And then the second would be that in addition to that formula that I just gave everybody, we also have to add in 6 months worth of PITI, principal interest, tax, and insurance, HOA if it's applicable, on the subject property. So the property that we're refinancing and or purchasing, 6 months PITI plus that 2, 4, 6% depending on how many finance properties they have.
Does that money need to be in cash, or if you had money in, like, say, a 401k, would that count?
Yeah, excellent question. So on the reserve side, the funds to satisfy that requirement can be liquid or non-liquid, to your point. So liquid is going to be defined as, you know, checking, savings, money market accounts. Non-liquid are your retirement accounts. So like you said, 401k, whole life insurance policies, self-directed IRAs, et cetera. HELOCs actually would be considered liquid, by the way, for those that may wonder. But if we go on the retirement accounts, the non-liquid accounts, important to mention that we will be asking for the terms of withdrawal. So let's use the 401k really quick, because that's probably the most common. If the individual has $100,000 in their 401k and they have an outstanding loan of $5,000 and we get the terms of withdrawal and it tells us that the individual is only allowed to have one loan out at any given time, that $95,000 difference will not be applicable or could be used to satisfy the reserve. They'd have to pay off the existing $5,000 for that to then open up.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that a HELOC, the funds you have available on the HELOC, could count as your reserves. Could you also use a HELOC for the down payment?
100%. That's okay. Going to be liquid funds. Yeah, if you're going to use it for the reserves, oftentimes we're going to have you withdraw the amount. Let's say that we need an extra $20,000 in reserves. We'll probably have you draw $20,000 off the HELOC, off the line, deposit it into an account. We can source that. Is, you know, your source and season funds. And then once we're done with the transaction, you can take it and put it back on the line.
Okay. So it doesn't need to be there for 2 months. You just need to transfer that over when you tell them, hey, look, we're going to need that money in your bank. They would make the transfer right then. But they don't need 2 months of bank statements showing the HELOC money in the savings account, right?
Exactly right. Okay. Yeah, it does not require seasoning. We just need to show the paper
trail. Okay, awesome. Now, as far as the whole process of getting approved, when should someone reach out to you or reach out to their lender? Is it right when they're thinking about buying a property, or should they wait till they get something under contract? Like, when's the right time to reach out?
I think really the sooner the better. As soon as it's a glint in their eye that they're going to consider getting into real estate investing, they really want to get that piece put to bed, connect all the dots. We want to understand what their qualifications are in addition to what their goals are, of course, and making sure that we can take them through the progression and we can achieve those with them and for them. So ASAP, I would say. The other reason for that too would be, well, two reasons. One, what if something comes up that they weren't aware of? What if there was a mar on their credit that was erroneous and it shouldn't be there? Right? We know that up front, and then we can work to make those corrections. And then we find that most turnkeys or agents and sellers really don't want to even present or show inventory to investors until they know they're pre-qualified. Right. So for all those reasons and probably others, ASAP is my answer.
Okay. And as far as getting pre-qualified or figuring out what kind of loan they qualify for, what kind of documents do they need to submit?
Besides the vials of blood?
Right.
Okay. I think I need to come up with some new material there. Yeah, I beat that one to death. So just, you know, I'll give you just a quick checklist, and we have this probably in black and white that we can send any listener that's interested. But, you know, W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns, bank statements that's going to show where your cash to close is going to come from, a copy of your driver's license, mortgage statements if you have lots of properties, lease agreements if they're recently purchased, insurance and tax statements if you, you know, if you have an impounded the mortgage, meaning that if you pay the taxes separate from taxes and insurance separate from the principal and interest payment, that's probably a decent first look comprehensive list.
And one thing I really like about the way that you run your business is that it seems like you do a lot of that work up front, where you're asking for all that documentation up front, where some other lenders that I've seen wait till the end to get that. And then you can run into all kinds of problems where you maybe aren't qualified for the loan, where it doesn't seem like you guys have a lot of loans that drop out. Am I right with that?
I love you, Dan. I think I just don't love you. You know, I'm so happy that you said that, because not everybody shares your opinion, and maybe it's just because they don't understand the mechanics or what's going on behind the scenes, but absolutely right. We do, take a lot of pride in making sure that we are setting people up to succeed. It does require a little extra heavy lifting on the front end, but I have, you know, 25 years in doing this, I've found by lots of trial and error, that is the most efficient way to do it. Gather too much up front so that we are prepared for anything that can happen in the middle and the end. And while I don't want to set the wrong expectation and make it sound like, you know, everything's done up front and then we don't need anything else, that's just not how lending works. It definitely takes some of the brain damage that would otherwise come up in that middle and end place. So 100%. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning.
Sure. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, because you're writing a good loan where I've heard so many stories from listeners that had properties under contract, and then at the last second, the lender backed out of the deal. But I know you've done loans for dozens and dozens of listeners, and I've never heard of a deal falling apart that you were working on. So yeah, you're definitely doing something right. Now, let me ask you this: mistakes that people make when they're getting a loan. Can you tell us like some common mistakes that you see people make?
Yeah, when it comes to the underwrite and the loan part of the real estate investment, I would say that there's three things that probably are worth mentioning. Any new undisclosed debt, and it doesn't occur to a lot of people that, oh, I just, you know, I went out and bought a car. I had to trade in my old car and get my new car, and it just didn't occur to them to let us know. Well, that's going to come up at the end. There's a drive report that's just called drive report that's run at the end that'll show us if there were any new inquiries, credit inquiries, in which case we're going to come back and ask about that. And if there is new debt that we didn't account for in the original underwrite, once we put that in there, that could disrupt debt to income ratio and really create a problem when we're getting ready to close the loan. So new undisclosed debt would be a big one. Just make sure that we know about those things. Any traveling, especially outside of the country during the loan process, should be kind of mentioned early on so that we can prepare for either finding where the closest U.S. embassy is if we're going to be signing while they're out of country, or a specific power of attorney. Maybe that's the way that we go. I, in this vein, I think overall, good communication is important, right? If they got a new job, they got a pay increase or decrease, any new debt, that kind of thing. I think communication is can wrap it all up into one little package. But I this is also a good question. I want to add something else that I've been seeing. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention to it as much, but I've been seeing it more lately. Due diligence of the property itself, I feel like isn't being done the way that it could be or should be by some investors. They're not taking that extra time early on to make sure that they're checking with the county for the taxes. They're making sure that the rents that are being quoted are what they're going to actually get. Interviewing their property manager. The inspections, right? Get the inspections, I would say. I think you probably agree no matter what. But even more importantly, make sure you read the report. So those would be the things that I would mention. there.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make any sense to pay for an appraisal and get through the process and then back out of the deal. So yeah, doing that stuff up front, I think makes a lot of sense. But okay, so basically what people need to make sure that they do is when you go under contract, don't buy anything big. Don't take on any new debt. If you're going to be traveling out of the country, just communicate with your lender. Make sure that whatever arrangements need to be made are made, and then just good communication throughout the process. Those are the three big things to watch out for.
Yeah, I would say. And in terms of, you know, taking on new debt, it may be okay, but as long as that communication piece is there and they say, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and we can run, you know, the scenario first and say, yeah, by all means, get it done. Or maybe we pause and say, you know, I really want you to wait until after we close. That way we have the advance notice and we can proceed accordingly.
Okay, sounds good. Now, what about a timeline? Can you give me a timeline on how long it takes to close a loan these days?
You know, there's a lot of variables that could derail this statement, but most of our products are closing in, you know, 30 days or less. I would say conventional typically closes quickest, 3 weeks or less is pretty standard, as long as the appraisal turn time is relevant to that statement. Our all-in-one product, which I'm a big, big fan of, that one seems to be taking a little bit longer. I would anticipate or set the expectation at 45 days. I've even seen it take as long as 60 days. So for that product, a little bit longer.
Awesome. Okay, great. Well, hey, if anybody has any follow-up questions or maybe they have a deal they want you to look at, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
There are a few, Dan. Thank you for asking. They can check out our website, of course, ridgelendinggroup.com. We have a community, everybody, that if anyone's interested, it's free to join. We meet every Tuesday at 1:30. It's all education-based. So check that out. They can email info@ridgelendinggroup.com. And they can call us toll-free at 855-74-RIDGE, 855-747-4343. All of those ways work.
Great. Well, that wraps up this bonus episode. I'll be back with a new interview on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.